Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, very extensive, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of the radio program. You'll also find Bible video, 30 minutes in length, and a host of other Bible-related study aids that will help you in your study of God's Word and also give you some information about us at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting time with our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to help you see the need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're continuing our discussion in the book of Hebrews. This morning, we want to talk about the quick and powerful Word of God. We begin by reading our text in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, the Word of God is quick and powerful. What does that mean? Well, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is the source of all power. Romans 1 verse 16 says it's God's power to save. We understand in Romans the 13th chapter and in verse number 1, Romans 13 verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God is the source of all authority. In Matthew 28, 18, the Bible says, He has all power in heaven and earth. There's one reason. It's Him who supports it. He is the source of authority because He is the Son of God. In John chapter 1, in the very first three verses of the Gospel of John, we can read, In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. It was made through Him. Now, notice in the Scripture it says, it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. What does that mean? That means that it's piercing. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is piercing. It can cut through to the heart. It is aimed at the heart. Now, what does it mean when it says it is living? What's it mean when it says it is living? That means that it can accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Let's read Isaiah 55, beginning in verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. The Word of God is living. It is going to do exactly what God wants it to do. And it is powerful and it is penetrating because it can cut through to the heart of man. Pierces even to the division and soul of spirit, joints, and marrow. The inner thoughts, the motives, are in man's heart, and the Word of God can penetrate that. This word can get down to the bare bones. In other words, why do I love God and why do I serve Him? Do I follow Him in my mind, in my heart always? We need to understand that this word is so powerful that it can cause the sinner to see his true condition, to convict him of his sin, to convict him of his unrighteousness, and to bring him to repentance. The Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. If you notice that every conversion in the book of Acts that we can study, and there are 9 of them, and all of those conversions begin with the Word of God coming in contact with the sinner. The sinner comes in contact with the Word of God. The Word of God is that which convicts the sinner. It is what is aimed at the sinner's heart. Why? So he can reason. So he can discern. So he can make a decision. So he can examine it. He can prove it. He can test it. And then he can make a decision on whether or not he will obey it. You see, God leaves that up to him. And so notice in verse 12 that it's discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God gets down to the essential. Man's heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 33, it tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We need to understand that the heart is what must be convicted. It is a heart that must submit willingly to God and be willing to do God's will. And the Word of God will get into the heart. It will get into his mind. And he'll be convicted, or he'll rebel or reject against God's will. But the Word of God has the power to convict the sinner. It has the power to make the sinner acknowledge his sin, recognize his sin, recognize his lost condition, and recognize his need for God in his life. And if he doesn't recognize that, and if he doesn't render obedience, then he's going to be everlastingly lost. The Word of God is what God aims at the sinner's heart in order to convict him of sin and his need for God. But notice verse number 13. And there is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Everything about our life is an open book in the sight of God. He knows our inner thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows what we do. He knows when we do it. He knows why we do it. He knows our trials. He knows our tribulation. He knows our successes. He knows our failures. Everything that we are an open book before God. But the reason that God can make a just judgment at the end, and why he can pass just verdict upon man, is because he has all the information. He has all the knowledge about every one of us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Bible says that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Verse 13 tells us that we cannot run away from the eyes of God. Psalm 33, 13 through 15 teaches the same word. Men can fool men. They can fool brethren. They can fool the world. And they may even deceive themselves. Yet no man can hide from the all-seeing eye of God. We have a song that we sing in our book called "An All-Seeing Eye is Watching You." We are going to give an account. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Bible says that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12, the scripture says, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." If you remember in the Revelation letter, if you remember the letter written to the seven churches of Asia, if you remember the individual letters in chapters 2 and 3, he made the same comment about all of them. He says, "I know thy works." God knows our works. He knows exactly what we do. He knows exactly why we do it. And he knows exactly what our weaknesses, what our strength, and what our shortcomings are. And he is going to judge accordingly. God's not going to get you and I mixed up with someone else. He's not going to judge us unfairly or unjustly. He's going to be completely fair. He's going to be completely honest. And we're going to determine our own spiritual destination eternally by how we conduct ourselves in our life. It is up to us. It is up to each individual to remember that there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of accounting. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 17. Excuse me, not Hebrews 17, Acts 17, I'm sorry. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. Acts 17, verse 30 says, truly these times of vengeance God overlooked, but he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to us all by raising him from the dead. Our judge is going to be the Word of God. Our judge is going to be the one who will render a verdict on whether we will go to heaven or whether we will be sent to a devil's hell. But all of that's going to be determined by what we did with this Word, whether we received it, whether we followed it, whether we believed it, whether we obeyed it. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, the scripture said, not anyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. And then Jesus adds in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. If you have the King James Version, it says iniquity. So we must understand iniquity and lawlessness is to act without authority. The Word of God is the authority. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And so we must have this Word in our heart. And we must understand that it pierces to our mind, to our very heart, to our Bible heart, to our mind, to convict us of our true standing before God. And as we earlier read in Isaiah, that it's not going to give a false verdict. It's able to accomplish the thing that God sent it to do. The Word of God has the power, has the ability, has the foresight and the understanding that it can show the sinner the error of his way, show the sinner his condition before God, and give him the information he needed in order to obey him and thus save his soul from a devil's hell and be able to separate himself from sin and have the hope of eternal life with God. But all of that is dependent upon us accepting what the Word says and obeying His teaching and His instruction. God's not going to make us do it. The devil can't make you not do it. It is a choice. It is a decision that every one of us must make. Every one of you who are in the listening audience this morning, you will determine where you spend eternity. But rest assured, dear ladies and gentlemen, all of us will stand before God on the day of reckoning, on the judgment day, to give an account of what we've done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And the righteous judgment will come down based upon our actions, based upon our desires, based upon our motives, and based upon what we did with the Word of God. What about it, dear listener? Do you love that Word? Do you believe that Word? And are you striving to the best of your ability to obey that Word? We hope.